Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Howdy, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. I have a dream. That's what Pope Francis says. And when there is no vision, the people perish. You can have a dream, too. All things are possible with God. Howdy, everybody. This is John Michael. You know, remember when Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream," and he revolutionized America? Well, Pope Francis is now saying as well, "I have a dream. I have a dream." And the dream is nothing short of revolutionizing not the doctrine of the church, not what the church teaches. He's very orthodox, but how we bring the gospel of Jesus to the world. He has a dream. It can be our dream too. Well, let's get into the doctrine or into the teaching a little bit of the apostolic exhortation. There's some really, really quotable quotes. I got to tell you, it's all through this document. We won't get to all of them. He says, number one and number six, he says, there are Christians whose lives seem like Lent without Easter. You know, I go to parishes all over the United States. Sometimes I go in and I go, "How you all doing?" And the pastors and the lay leaders, they greet us at the door and they go, "Oh, we're so excited to have you here. We've been waiting for months for you to be in our parish." Yeah, they look like they're in Lent without Easter. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have Lent. We're going to have times of repentance and sorrow and mourning. But we always have the hope and of Easter bringing us a joy through our sorrow. So the Pope wants us to get out of this Lenten, perpetual Lent, with no Easter. He wants us to always have Easter in mind. You know, he says, sometimes we are tempted to find excuses and complain, acting as if we could only be happy if 1,000 conditions are met. Well, I'll tell you what, monasticism deals with this head on. You'll never be happy if you place your happiness on getting somebody around you to do things the way you want them to be done. You will never be happy if you get all the external conditions of the world to meet your ideas and your agendas. It ain't going to happen. See, the world changes when we change. The externals change when the internal of our life changes. So we can't be making excuses. A lot of people say, "Oh, I don't have joy because of this and this." Well, my mom or my dad or my son or my daughter or my pastor or my parish council or my music group or this or that, you know, or the government or, you know, the list goes on and we walk around unhappy. The Pope is saying, no more excuses. No more excuses. It doesn't work that way. I love Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, when he says, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God. A man gave a great dinner to which many were invited. When the time came for the dinner, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one, they all began to excuse themselves." And they were good excuses. One says, "I purchased a field, and I got to go examine it. I ask you, consider me excused." Another said, "I purchased 5 yoke of oxen, and am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, please consider me excused. Another said, I just got married. Therefore, I can't come. See, these are all good excuses. We can always find good excuses to stay stuck in our Lent. Get rid of those excuses. You're not going to get happy, joyful, by changing the externals of your life. You're going to get happy by changing your attitude. There's two kinds of people in the world, successful and unsuccessful, happy and unhappy. It has nothing to do with how much money you make, whether or not you're going to face tragedy and grief and setbacks and challenges. We all face these things. You know what the difference is? The difference between a successful and an unsuccessful person is all about their attitude, not about the externals of their life. And here's another little rule. Like attracts like. Successful people attract successful people. Happy people attract happy people. That's why we say, you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. That's because they found that happiness, haven't they? So the Pope says, I have a dream. He says, I dream of a missionary option, that is a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything so that the church's customs, ways of doing things, times and schedules, languages and structures can be suitably challenged for the evangelization of today's world rather than just her own self-preservation. This is powerful. It is kind of a keystone to the whole document. And he gets very specific. A missionary option. All of our old structures, the stuff we've gotten stuck in, the ruts that we are stuck in, we can re-examine them. We can change them. And we change them because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, an evangelizing community, goodness always tends to spread. Wow. You know, St. Bonaventure said in the 13th and 14th centuries, he said that goodness is self-diffusive. Goodness always flows out from itself. Love is the union of at least two to create at least a third. That's why love is Trinitarian. But goodness is self-diffusive. It always goes out. Therefore, St. Paul does not surprise us when he says, and this is from the document, the love of Christ urges us on, 2 Corinthians 5:14. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. See, when the good news is in you, you gotta share it. When you have something good, you gotta share it. If you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus, maybe you don't have it yet. Whoa, how about that? I challenge the people in our community. If you're not challenging people to come join us as a brother or a sister of charity, that's the community I'm part of, you're not convinced it's a very good community in the first place. When you have that goodness, you evangelize all the time. And he speaks of a renewal of preaching. Listen to what he says. A renewal of preaching can offer believers, as well as the lukewarm and non-practicing, new joy in the faith and fruitfulness of the work of evangelization. The heart of its message will always be the same. The God who reveals his immense love in the crucified and risen Christ. Christ is the eternal gospel. We need a renewal in preaching, but he goes on to give us some warnings with preaching. He says, for instance, that sometimes the church gets stuck in secondary messages. The primary message is always calling people to that personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. Other messages are secondary, moral messages. And he goes back to Thomas Aquinas. You know, for instance, pro-life. It's a very important message. He speaks of it in this document. But that pro-life message flows out from having that personal encounter with Jesus. Care for the poor is so important. We should be proclaiming it, preaching it, working for it. But it always flows from that personal love relationship with Jesus. So he says, if you hear a preacher that gets stuck onto secondary principles and preaches these things over and over and over again, he says there's a problem. Guess what should be every time, every homily, every message, every teaching? Jesus. That personal encounter with Christ. Whew. When preaching is faithful to the gospel, the centrality of certain truths is evident, and it becomes clear that Christian morality is not a form of stoicism or self-denial or merely a practical philosophy or a catalog of sins and faults. Jesus must be central. He must be our good news, our evangelization. And He will lift us from a Lent without Easter to a truly Christian Lent, which always focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. Then we have joy. Then we are good news. Then we have a dream.
Holy in God is my soul at rest. In Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock, my strength, and my salvation, my stronghold, my Savior. I shall not be afraid at all, my stronghold, my Savior. Safety when the enemy pursues me. Holy in God is found glory when I am found meek and found lowly. My stronghold, my Savior, I shall not be afraid at all, my stronghold, my Savior, I shall not be moved. Holy in God is my soul at rest. In Him comes my salvation.
Howdy, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. The Pope has a dream. I have a dream for a missionary church. I want to go into some of the specifics of some of the really cool stuff he says in this document. Listen to this stuff. It'll shake your life up. It'll shake the church up. It'll shake the world up. He says, an evangelizing community knows that the Lord has taken the initiative. He has first loved us. We can't evangelize if we're not evangelized. We can't give what we don't have. We can't preach if we haven't first listened. See? You got to have it before you can share it. Jesus takes the initiative. He's the one who gives us the gift to give to others. An evangelizing community gets involved by word, boom, words are easy, and deed, actions, changed lives, in people's daily lives. It bridges distances. The church is supposed to be bridging distances between people that are separated and polarized and scattered. If the Pope is a pontiff, a pontoon bridge, we, the whole church, is to be bridging distances, reaching out to the disenfranchised. Did you know that in the United States, only 17% of Catholics are coming to church? Only 15% of Catholic youth are coming to church? If it were a denomination, the second largest denomination in America would be non-practicing Catholics, 30 million of them. And did you know 50% of the people sitting in the big mega churches down the street, they're non-practicing Catholics? Guess what? We got to reach out. We got to find common ground. Bridge differences. Work ecumenically, and even in an interfaith way, and even with people of goodwill, to bring peace to the world with joy. So, he says, evangelizers thus take on the smell of the sheep. If you have evangelizers that are afraid to get down in the trenches and get dirty, get with the folks. I'm not evangelizing. If you're going to reach the people, you got to be with the people. One of the abbot primates of the Benedictine community internationally, he's a classical flautist. He's a flute player, classically trained. Yet, he plays in a rock and roll band, rhythm guitar. I met with him, and he came up. He's a German. He says, to reach the people, you must be with them. So, he joined a rock and roll band with a bunch of Catholic Christian kids, and they're reaching the youth. How cool is that? Wow, I just think it's so cool. An evangelizing community is supportive, standing by people at every step of the way, no matter how difficult or lengthy this may prove to be. An evangelizing community is filled with joy. It knows how to rejoice. Always. I love this. It celebrates every small victory, every step forward. I tell our community with the Brothers and Sisters of Charity, we got to celebrate. We have to learn how to celebrate. He doesn't want a bunch of sourpusses for Christ. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants us to be filled with a celebrating community. Joy is attractive. Celebrating calls people. Celebrating evangelizes. He says, a church which goes forth is a church with its doors open. How many times have you gone up to a Catholic church? I understand why they lock their churches, especially in some bad neighborhoods. I get it. But the Pope is challenging us. He says the doors of the church ought to be open. People ought to be able to come in and always find there a sanctuary of hope, of peace in the midst of a sometimes violent world. He says the doors should always be open. Get this. I love this quote. I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been in the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security. This gives us a false sense of security within rules which make us harsh judges, within habits which make us feel safe. While at the door, people are starving, and Jesus never tires of saying to us, you give them something to eat. Mark 6:37. He says, some customs may be beautiful, but they no longer serve as a means of communicating the gospel. We should not be afraid to re-examine them. The church has rules that may have been quite effective in their time, but they no longer have the same usefulness. And they can make our religion a form of servitude. Wow. He has a dream. He doesn't want to change the doctrine of the church, the orthodoxy of the church, the sacraments of the church, but he wants to change the way we bring the eternal message of Jesus to our world, in our day, in our time. Here's some specifics. He says, here's a good one for priests out there. I want to remind priests that the confessional must not be a torture chamber, but rather an encounter with the Lord's mercy. Wow. Now, don't get me wrong. I like a confessor to challenge. I like confession. I like to go and talk to somebody who has authority and tell them about my life and my spiritual life and tell them if I sinned. And they hold me accountable. I like that accountability. But the purpose of the confession is to free people up. Evangelization with joy becomes beauty in the liturgy, as part of a daily concern to spread goodness. The church evangelizes and is herself evangelized through the beauty of the liturgy, the work of God and the work of the people coming together where heaven and earth meet. The liturgy, when we worship, it should be filled with joy, with joy. Are your liturgies filled with joy? And he says of the Eucharist itself, the Eucharist, although it is the fullness of the sacramental life, it's not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak. Oh, when I receive Jesus in the Eucharist in the Lord's Supper, in a way beyond words, that's why it's called a sacred mystery. Jesus is just there. He's present. He feeds me for the journey. I so need this food. I bet you do too. Now, he speaks of the parish. He says, the parish is not an outdated institution precisely because it possesses great flexibility. Parishes are not to be places where rules and old customs strangle us, trip us up, squeeze the life out of us. A parish, he says, it's beautiful because it has the flexibility to embody this joy of this gospel. In all its activities, the parish encourages and trains its members to be evangelizers. The parish is there to be a missionary community. We must admit, though, that the call to review and renew our parishes has not really happened yet. No doubt, we need better music in our parishes. We need better preaching in our parishes. Then we will have a more truly engaged experience of Jesus in the sacraments of our parish, especially the Eucharist, and we need them to be great communities. He says, you know, to conclude, he says a tomb psychology has developed, and slowly transforms Christians into mummies in a museum. For all this, I repeat, let us not allow ourselves to be robbed of the joy of evangelization. Do you ever feel like you're a mummy in a museum when you go to church, in your parish? Encounter Christ. Grab the dream of Pope Francis. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And let's get that joy of the gospel again. That is the dream of Pope Francis. I hope it's your dream. It certainly is mine. I love you guys. I'll see you back here next time. Take care, and God bless you.
Breathe in the Spirit of Christ, the life of Jesus. Breathe out all that's not like Him. without your sin. Breathe in the being of God. Let go of your pride. Out your old self, in him yourself you'll find. Breathe in.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.